welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Westerns in this hour. Later on, it's Hopalong Cassidy from 1951. But first, an episode of the All-Star Western Theater. A fun broadcast with music and drama heard on the CBS Pacific Network on November 22, 1947.
The Bakers of Weber's Bread present your All-Star Western Theater. Recorded earlier for release at this time.
Drifting along, singing a song under a western moon.
From Hollywood comes your all-star western theater, starring America's great western singers, Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage, bringing you the music, the stories, and the spirit of the great open spaces. And now, here are the Riders of the Purple Sage.
Yippee-yay, yippee-o, in a day, home we go. For a cowboy has to sing, and a cowboy has to yell, or his heart would break inside of him at the gate of the home corral.
When each new day is born, I go riding.
Yippee-yay!
On the wide open plains I roam.
Yippee-yay!
Till the sun to the hills goes a-hiding.
Yippee-yay!
There'll always be someone glad when I come home.
Yippee-yay! Yippee-o! End of day, home we go. For a cowboy has to sing, and a cowboy has to yell, or his heart would break inside of him at the gate of the home corral.
There's a tired pony glad that it's over.
Yippee-yay!
With a song in my heart, so am I.
Yippee-o.
For tonight we'll be dreaming of clover.
Yippee-yay!
And we always will until the day we die.
Yippee-yay! Yippee-o! In the day, home we go. For a cowboy has to sing, and a cowboy has to yell, or his heart would break inside of him at the gate of the home corral.
Hello there, friends. Mighty good to be with you again, bringing you our Western stories and songs. And since most folks like a love ballad, including the cowboys who enjoy singing them, we've got one of the same ready for you right now. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms.
I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold my arms, like you've never been held before. I'll think of you each day, and then I'll dream the night away, till you are in my arms once more. The stars up in the sky know the reason why
I feel so blue when I'm away from you.
I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. So darling, please wait for me. Stars up in the sky know the reason why
I feel so blue when I'm away from you.
I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. So darling,
for a story, one which Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage think you'll enjoy, and which they call Hail to the Spirit That Always Wins. The vast stretches of unpopulated land in the West are in themselves vital factors in the forming of character and circumstance which mold the individual. A man who lives alone amid the vastness is liable to become a little strange and be regarded by others as peculiar. And this very space, which slowly works its strange magic on him, will also be the motivating factor in bringing into his little world the egregious individual who will make an otherwise ordinary moment a special event of a man who lives in such vastness. And a passerby is the warp and woof of our story today. Boy Willing, Al Sloey, and Johnny Paul are heading for town, still 10 miles away. They'll take care of their errands for the boss, then they'll head back for the ranch tomorrow. Or so they plan. And who knows, their plans might hold. And then again...
Sun's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too doggone
hot. Hey!
What?
That car standing up there ahead, does that look familiar to you guys?
I've been watching it, boy, and it looks familiar to me.
Sure it does.
Only I can't think who belongs to it.
I don't recognize it.
Sure you do, Al. Think a minute.
Can't. Sun's too hot.
Now, who has the oldest broken-down jalopy west of the Mississippi River?
I can't think.
Who's the person who'd be most likely parked out here in the middle of nowhere trying to fix the engine with barbed wire he stole off a fence post?
I know.
Sure.
Two-Bit Michelson. Of course, Two-Bit Michelson, the peddler.
My goodness, I haven't seen him since Heck was a pup.
Me neither. And you better pop a little life into your sales resistance, boys. You know how he is.
I sure do. Well, he'll try to sell you the warts right off his nose.
And if you don't watch out, he'll do it, too.
You guys keep saying no for me. You know how I am.
Okay, Johnny, we'll protect you.
Well, the last time I ran into him, he absolutely convinced me that I needed worse than anything else in the world a 5-pound box of lilac bath powder.
Sometimes I think he was right.
He sees us. He's waving.
Well, let's wave back. We're far enough away to risk being polite.
Hello there, Two-Bit. He's sitting down on the running board to wait for us.
Yeah, and you know what he's doing while he's sitting there, don't you?
What?
Well, he's figuring out what worthless article he has the best chance of selling. Uh-oh, what did I tell you? Now he's getting one of those beat-up old suitcases out of the back end.
No, Two-Bit.
What's biting you?
I'm just practicing. No, Two-Bit. I can't use it.
Tom, you're broke.
I'm broke, Two-Bit.
Tell him you already have a couple.
I already have a couple, Two-Bit.
Tell him you'll take a half a dozen.
I'll take half a dozen. No!
Better be quiet, boys. We're within hearing distance now.
Ain't the boy.
Hello, Two-Bit.
How fortuitous a meeting. How jolly for us all.
Where you been keeping yourself, Two-Bit?
Oh, here and there, round about the countryside, pursuing a mission in life.
Having some car trouble, Two-Bit?
Well, I've had the least little bit of misfortune with my automobile, but I have it fixed with a length of barbed wire, some spit, and the promise of an extra gallon of gasoline somewhere along the line.
Hey, Two-Bit, what's that?
What's what, Johnson, my boy?
That there.
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that question.
Oh, here we go.
This gorgeous, compelling, eye-catching piece of cloth is one of the most fantastic pieces of merchandise which it has ever been my privilege to offer to the public.
What's so wonderful about it?
A good question indicating an astute mind, boy. As a piece of cloth, it's nothing more or less than a brightly printed length of goods. But, gentlemen, you are looking at a genuine South Sea Island sarong.
Hey, no fooling.
This gorgeous piece of material once was wrapped around the dazzling figure of a raven pressed to Asian beauty, who whiled away the moonlight night, leaning languidly against the palm trees and singing softly as the waves gently washed the glittering white sands of the lonely beach.
Go ahead, Two-Bit. Don't stop now.
And as the moon rode higher and higher in the star-specked heavens, the lovely girl's loneliness and yearning became almost unbearable. Silently, a pearl-like tear coursed its way down her satin-smooth cheek, past her full red lips, and dropped from her chin onto the timeless sands below.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally, she arose, her lovely body undulating as she moved slowly toward the whispering waves, still singing her lonely song as she walked into the moonlight path on the water. Her beauty was reflected a million different times by the water itself as it gently caressed her.
Gee.
She began to swim. Each motion was a poem. Straight into the moonlit path she swam, farther and farther and farther. Soon she was a part of the sea and the sky and the moonlight too. I found the sarong on the beach where she dropped it. And I'll sell it to you for $5.
I'll take it.
Johnny.
Huh? What?
Two-Bit, why do you make up those fantastic stories? You know you bought that cloth for 20 cents a yard in a department store in Dallas.
Johnny, put your money back in your pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you let Johnny buy the sarong if he wants it?
Sarong? Whom is kidding whom?
Boy, you really had me going there, Two-Bit.
One of the greatest pitches ever made, Johnny. Too bad your unromantic friends here spoiled it. But no hard feelings.
Oh, no, no hard feelings. But I don't see for the life of me why you don't get some worthwhile stuff to sell, Two-Bit.
Everything I have is worthwhile, boy. Purchases are made for the soul, too, you know.
Yeah, but if you'd put your talents to selling real estate or something, you'd make a fortune.
But that's not my mission in life. My mission is to bring some romance, some joy, some prettiness into the lives of the folks around here. For instance, now,
This ostrich feather looks like just an ostrich feather, nothing more.
Well, is it?
The person who buys this will buy the story that goes along with it. This feather came from a fan that Queen Victoria carried during a ball in Windsor Castle.
Oh, too bad, for crying out loud.
And this little glass chimes here, made personally by an ancient Chinese philosopher of the Far Eastern Orient. He hung it on his porch where the breeze would make the glass tinkle while he sat and thought up wise sayings. And this lovely old beaded
lampshade. Boy, we better get on down the road. We'll end up with a lot of junk we never will use.
Yeah, you're right, Al.
Oh, I have many more things, boys.
But we don't have time to wait, Two-Bit. We'll see you again.
Well,
thanks for the story about the sarong, Two-Bit. I sure did enjoy it.
Well, that'll be on the house this time, Johnny.
Maybe I'll buy something next time I see you.
I hope so. Because when you buy from me, you get double your money's worth.
Well, so long, Two-Bit. And if you get a gold tooth from a cannibal, let me know. I've been hunting all over for one.
Well, it just so happens that I have one right here in another...
Come on, tooth. Boys, let's ride, or I'll end up with that darn gold tooth.
Whoa, whoa, boy.
Hey, why are we stopping here at Daniel's place, boy?
To ask him if we can do anything for him in town.
Oh.
Daniel! Hey, Daniel!
Hello, boy.
Hello, Daniel.
Well, I do declare to goodness now. It's a lucky thing you boys dropped by like this.
We're on our way into town, Daniel, and we wondered if we could bring you anything.
Well, sure, now, that's real nice of you boys. But I don't believe there's nothing I need at all.
Got plenty of grub and everything?
I think me and Miss Jezebel has all we need.
Mrs. Jezebel? Well, who in the world is that?
Why, Al Slowey, you break my heart, son. You forgot my lovely little lady cow?
Oh, Jezebel. But you never called her Mrs. before, did you?
Well, it's only proper now. We're expecting.
Is that right?
Yes, indeedy. I think tomorrow sometime there'll be the patter of tiny feet in Miss Jezebel's stall. So that's why it's a lucky thing you boys stopped by. I was going to ride up to your place today and ask you if you'd come by and help me when the time comes.
Why, sure, Daniel. We'd be glad to... Wait. We're on our way into town now. We could get back here about dark. Could you put us up for the night?
Oh, my, yes. I could surely do that, boy.
Okay, then we'll be back.
Well, sir, that's fine of you boys.
Oh, incidentally, Daniel.
Yes?
Two-Bit Michelson's headed this way.
Two-Bit is?
Yeah, so hide your money and practice saying no.
And you better practice longer than I did, Daniel. He nearly caught me.
Two-Bit Michelson. My, I surely will enjoy to see him. Been awaiting and awaiting for
well,
you.
Well, Daniel, old friend, the winter and summer have been kind to you.
Oh, Two-Bit, nothing much happens to me. I just wither up a little more each year, and someday I'll just blow away. Two-Bit, what you got this trip?
Oh, pretties, Daniel. I've outdone myself this year. I've got fabulous things from the world over.
Show me, Two-Bit, show me.
Yeah, I want to show you this, Daniel. You know, I've been saving this for you especially. Because I knew you'd appreciate it.
My, my.
A beaded lampshade. Direct from the palace of the Maharaja of Coochie Bacoochie. It fits on the chimney of a kerosene lamp, and it's fireproof.
It's lovely. Just lovely.
The Maharaja received this as a present on his 25th birthday. And he placed it on the table by a window, which overlooked the courtyard, which was paved with solid gold bricks. In the courtyard, 42 snake charmers played their plaintive reeds while the cobras danced. And he stood at the window for 12 hours solid, while his subjects passed beneath him, waving silver-tipped spears encrusted with diamonds. There was a train of 500 white elephants, each one covered with a blue velvet blanket, embroidered with gold thread. The Maharaja received 4 bushels of diamonds, and 500,000 perfect pearls, as big as my thumbnail. But the present he loved most of all, and which he cherished more than all the fabulous gems, was this beaded lampshade. And you know why? Because his mother made it with her own hands. Daniel, it's yours for $1 and 2 bits.
2 bit, you're a real good friend to save this treasure for me.
Oh, I knew you'd appreciate it, Daniel.
Show me something else.
I have many things, Daniel. Many things. Many, many. This here.
Well, sir. Now, I'll tell you, that's one of the prettiest pretties I ever did see. What is it?
Glass chimes, Daniel, made personally by an ancient philosopher of the Far Eastern Orient.
Oh, tell me about it, Two-Bit.
This ancient man was a great thinker who lived high on a hill in the Far Eastern Orient. He was the wisest of all wise men, and to him came the crowned heads of all the countries for advice, the kings, the queens, the princes, and the princesses. And this ancient man would sit on his front porch and listen to their problems, and when he had a wise saying to answer them with, he would utter it. But in his silences, while he was thinking up his wise sayings, he noticed that his great visitors fidgeted. So he personally made this glass chime and hung it in the porch where the gentle breeze would make it tinkle. And the sound of the tinkle would calm his nervous visitors while he thought up his wise sayings.
My, just think of that.
It's yours for 6 bits.
Oh, I'll have to have that, Two-Bit. I'll have to take that. Mrs. Jezebel will find them little tinkling sounds soothing to her spirit. While she thinks up wise thoughts, too.
Oh, of course, Daniel.
I'll tell you what's what, Two-Bit. You do indeed bring a pretty pack of dreams into a lonely man's life.
It's my mission, Daniel, and my pleasure. And now these I had in mind for you, too, especially for you.
Them little cards?
Important cards, Daniel.
They're real pretty, ain't they?
Very few people know it, but the picture on these cards were painted by a world-famous artist. Look at the line, the color, the texture, the skillful blending. These greeting cards, Daniel, were personally painted by an artist who was a part of the fabulous court of the French monarchs. With the court balls, the painted ladies, the fawning courtiers, they all disgusted him because his painting wasn't making people like you and me happy. So he cast aside the glitter of the fashionable court, went to his garret.
What's that?
Attic.
Oh.
He went to his garret and began painting what you see before you.
My.
He was later hanged for deserting the court, but he left the priceless cards behind him. Cards on which the verses were personally written by William Shakespeare.
You don't say.
Who else could write such a tender sentiment as this? To you, my dearest daughter, on your graduation day, may heaven always guide you with its brightest, clearest ray.
That's lovely. Just lovely.
I knew you'd appreciate them, Daniel. Cost 6 bits.
I mean it, boy. If I ever see that Two-Bit Michelson again, I'm going to kick his britches right up around his ears.
Al, for Pete's sake, will you shut up? It's none of your business. And dry those pans.
I am.
You are not. You're giving him a lick and a promise.
Well, I'm sore.
But it's none of your business.
I think it's our business when Two-Bit unloads a lot of worthless junk on a nice old guy like Daniel.
Maybe we think it's worthless junk, but Daniel thinks he's bought some fine treasures. Hand me the coffee
You're
pot.
You're closer to it than I am. Fine treasure, my eye. He's got Johnny out there helping him hang those glass chimes that come from the Far Eastern Orient, which is a second-hand shop in Houston, probably.
Probably so, but still, it's
And
not...
the same with the beaded lampshades. Maharaja's palace, my royal foot. Why, that...
Al, think a minute. We know Two-Bit is a terrible liar. Daniel probably knows it, too. But Two-Bit spends a fine yarn about his goods, and to an old man who lives alone like Daniel does, a fine yarn about a beaded lampshade or a few pieces of colored glass may keep him company through many a long evening.
But they're so useless.
No, they aren't.
Well, if they ain't useless, what do you think the greeting cards are? Of all the no-good, why, the man that sold those things ought to be strung up. Greeting cards are for greeting somebody with. Daniel don't know anybody to send him to, and he's stuck with 20 of them pertaining to all occasions.
Shh, shh. No, wait a minute. Don't say anything more.
Oh, my. I tell you, boys, I owe Two-Bit a debt of gratitude.
You what?
Al.
Yes, sir. Miss Jezebel just loves them glass chimes and the little tinkling sounds.
Well, that's good, Daniel.
I told her the story about the ancient Chinese philosopher, and she understood it all. And I just know she'll think up a lot of wise thoughts like he did.
Is she comfortable, Daniel?
I don't think it's going to be too long, boy. I think it'll be before morning.
Well, it's a good thing we came back tonight, then.
Oh, yes. And I was just going to take this box of greeting cards out and read them to her now. Sort of ease her spirit at this time. Now, Miss Jezebel, Johnny and me are going to read you some of these nice greeting cards, ain't we, Johnny?
Sure, if you say so, Daniel.
They're lovely cards. Such pretty little drawings and them sentiments, Miss Jezebel. You wouldn't hardly think mortal soul could write such beautiful words, that is. Now, where'd I put my specs?
On your forehead, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's a fine one. don't you agree holidays are heaven? Merry Christmas, 1927.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd like that. Now, here's another. Dear friend in the hospital, we are thinking of you, your fellow members of the Ladies' Aid. Look up, cheer up, and never be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
See, Johnny, Miss Jezebel understands every word.
Daniel, you better call the boys. Mrs. Jezebel's about to become a mother. Hey, Al, what's eating him?
I don't know, Johnny. Maybe he's wearing his long underwear.
The joke's on you, Al.
What joke?
Yeah, what joke, boy?
Well, I'll tell you, Johnny. While you were out in the barn with Daniel last night, Al and I were doing the dishes, Al got real burned up.
And rightly so, dog.
Wait a minute, Al. You see, Johnny, Al said that everything Two-Bit sold to Daniel was absolutely worthless.
It is.
Especially the greeting cards.
Especially the greeting cards.
Al said they weren't worth a hoop and a holler, and Daniel never have any use for them.
Oh, brother.
Well, what's the funny, boy?
Yeah, what's the funny? Daniel never will have any use for them.
You guys didn't see what Daniel did this morning, did you?
Why?
He went thumbing through those cards until he found the one he wanted. Then he put it in an envelope and wrote Mrs. Jezebel's name on it, took it out and read it to her, and then tacked it up on the wall where she could see it.
What did it say?
And what's so wonderful about that?
Nothing, except that if Daniel had ridden all the way to Houston, he couldn't have found a more appropriate card.
What did it say, boy?
It said, and I quote, "Hail to the spirit that always wins. Congratulations on your twins."
It looks like old Daniel didn't get such a bad bargain after all. Great songs which have been given special treatment by the writers of the Purple Sage have the distinction of being done in this featured spot on your all-star Western theater. Today's choice, a folk song, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Takes care of things for this time, friends. We're always glad when you can be with us, and we invite you to join us again next week. Before we go, we want to thank Kurt Barrett and Tyler McVeigh for helping us tell our story. This is Foy Willing speaking for Al Floyd, Johnny Paul, and Scotty Harrell, the writers of the Purple Sage, saying so long and the best of luck to all of you.
Drifting along, singing a song under a western moon.
From Hollywood, you've heard your All-Star Western Theater, a B.M. Bear production starring America's great western singers, Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage. The script was written and directed by Scott Farnworth. This is Terry O'Sullivan speaking.
The All-Star Western Theater was recorded earlier and came to you from Columbia Square. This is KNX in Los Angeles. 25 seconds until 7 p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time.
The All-Star Western Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, part of the CBS Pacific Network's lineup for the day of November 22, 1947. The host of the show, Cottonseed Clark, was the exclusive host for that program throughout the 1940s, and among his earliest radio work, at least that's recorded, was a program for the Armed Forces Radio Service called Command Performance, where he was part of a Western-themed show alongside the Andrews Sisters, Frank Sinatra, and Bob Hope, who performed a parody of the Bob Hope and Bing Crosby road movies called The Road to Texas or Jerk Along Cassidy. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for Hop Along Cassidy with The Case of the Last Word, a syndicated episode from January 6th, 1951.
Well, Hoppy, what about our story?
California and I were in a little cow town called Trail Center. We had just unsaddled our horses at the stable and were walking leisurely toward the two-story frame building that passed for a hotel. It had been a long ride from the Bar 20, 100 miles to the east, and our throats were parched with alkali dust. California was unhappy with the situation.
Hoppy, what we doing way over here? We got better dust than this back at the Bar 20.
I know, California, but we've got to have provisions.
What's the matter with Tamarack? It's a sight closer than this place.
A man has to move around once in a while. He gets stale if he doesn't.
Hoppy, you got something up your sleeve.
Maybe. I don't know yet.
Hoppy, hop along, Cassidy.
Looks like somebody knows you,
Hoppy. Oh, it's good to see you, Hoppy. What are you doing over this stretch of sagebrush?
Hello, Andrew. We came over to buy provisions. This is Andrew Fillmore, California, one of the finest men who ever came west.
Howdy, Fillmore.
Glad to know you, California.
How are things going with you, Andrew?
Oh, not so good lately, Hoppy.
What's the trouble?
Well, there's been a series of bank robberies in these parts. All of us little ranchers, Marty and I have cleaned out.
That's so?
Yeah.
Seems to me I heard something about it over my section.
I knowed it. I knowed it.
You knew what, California?
I knowed it wasn't no provision buying trip.
Well, what are we doing there?
Your old hankering for chasing trouble get the bastards off you. That's what.
Hoppy, does he mean that you're going
to...
Just
simmer down, Andrew. I'm not looking for trouble.
Oh, shucks. Sure a man can take care of it if it comes your way.
Right now, I'd like some sarsaparilla coming my way. My throat's kind of dry.
No, there's a sensible idea. Now, bye.
What's that?
Hoppy, look. Coming out of the bank.
Yeah, two masked men.
Uh-oh, I'm getting me some cover.
Not yet, they're not.
What are you going to do, Hoppy?
Bring them down if I can.
You got the one on the bay.
Wait a minute. The Pinto's getting out of range. I missed him.
Well, come on. This is going to tell us who's been robbing our bank lately.
Sorry I missed the other one.
No use having any more killing than necessary. If you get that mask off of that dead one, we'll know who the gang is.
Here. Now... Get the bandana off his face.
Now, wait a minute.
There. Well, you know him, Andrew?
Yeah, I know him.
Who is he?
My daughter was right after all.
What did you say?
That there's Willie Cranball.
Who is Willie Cranball?
Oh, he's the kid brother of Bart Cranball, biggest cattleman this side of the river.
What does that prove?
Unfortunately, nothing, Hoppy. Willie didn't need no money. His brother's got enough for the whole county. Probably out on a lark and... got himself killed.
You really believe that, Andrew?
Well, I don't know what to believe. But, Hoppy, you've got trouble now.
How so?
Bart Cranball. He's a vengeful man. He's a powerful man. He won't let this pass.
Andrew, this man was robbing a bank, and that calls for direct action. As far as I'm concerned, it's a job for the sheriff now. And if Bart Cranball wants to settle the score, I'll be right over there at the hotel.
The body of the dead bank robber is circled with curious townsfolk. Hoppy and California have nothing more to do, so they push their way through the awestruck crowd to the hotel. They're registering for a room when the sheriff, a big man with a wall eye and a chin like a badger, comes swaggering up to them.
Your name, Cassidy?
That's right.
I'm the sheriff of this here township.
So I gather.
Huh?
That's a big badge you're wearing.
Now, look here, don't...
This is my partner, California Carlson. We're from the Bar 20, 100 miles to the east.
Howdy. Howdy. Cassidy, we don't like strangers coming in here and shooting up our folks.
Young Cranbaugh was robbing the bank.
Well, that may be, but it's my job to see the justice done around here, not yours.
You weren't around, Sheriff.
Well, that don't make no difference. I would have taken out after him, and I would have brought him back alive.
Like you did the boys who stuck up the banks in Soda Junction, Saltwater Bend, and Harrison Flats?
Well, they got away, but we'll get them yet.
How do you know Willie Cranbaugh didn't pull those stick-ups, too?
Are you trying to tell me how to do my job?
Not at all, Sheriff.
Well, let me give you a friendly warning. Bart Cranbaugh ain't no man to take things light. He's going to be mad when he finds out you shot his brother.
Since we're just visitors here in Trail Center, we can expect your protection if it's needed, can't we, Sheriff?
Well, sure. But if I was you, I'd get out of town. And right soon.
Advice is something you can act on two ways, Sheriff. You can take it, or you can leave it. But I'll remember what you said. Come on, California, let's wash off some of the dust.
Nothing like a thick steak to put a man to rights inside.
And a store-bought bed to put your head on afterwards.
Yes, sir. This is comfort. We ought to come into town more often, Hoppy.
Seems like I always get into trouble when I do.
Oh, that kid had it coming to him this afternoon, Hoppy. He'd have got you first if he could.
Yeah. Well, let's turn in and get some sleep. We're going to need it on the trail tomorrow.
We're going back tomorrow?
Sure.
Shucks, I never of no luck. Well, good night, Hoppy.
Aren't you even going to take your boots off, California?
Huh? Oh, sure, sure. What do you want to go back today for, Hoppy? We won't get a chance to eat like this again for maybe 6 months.
You've already plowed through two orders of ham and eggs and potatoes, California.
No, that ain't nothing. I'm going to have some more of them for dessert.
You're going to look like a steer at shipping time.
Are you Hopalong Cassidy?
Huh? Yeah. And you'd be Bart Cranbaugh.
I got a little score to settle with you, Cassidy.
I'm sorry about your brother, Cranbaugh.
Being sorry isn't enough. I'm going to have you and this whiskered specimen you call your partner run out of town on a rail.
What for?
Let's say for taking the law into your own hands.
I might sue you for that, Cranbaugh.
You're lucky I don't feel like shooting you.
You're wearing a gun. Would you care to reach for it?
I don't operate that way, Cassidy. I get what I want without shooting.
Well, looks like we have more company, California.
Yeah.
Morning, Sheriff. Something on your mind?
Is your glove, Cassidy?
Glove? Let me see. Yeah.
Then I'm putting you and your partner under arrest.
And what's the charge?
Murder.
Murder? Who?
The bank guard was shot last night. This glove was found by his body.
I see. What made you think this might be my glove, Sheriff?
Why, it's just like the ones I saw you wearing yesterday. I put two and two together.
Mighty good detective work. Just so happens I left that glove with its mate and my blanket roll down at the stable.
Yeah, that's what you say. I say you sneaked out of your room in the hotel last night, shot the guard, and tried to rob the bank.
Well, Cassidy,
That detective work isn't so good. Neither California nor I left our room last night.
Oh, Hoppy, we...
And if you gentlemen will come to the room with us, I'll prove it.
Looks as if I won't have to run you out of town on a rail. You've got yourself set for a necktie party on your own hook.
Like I said, I can prove we never left that hotel room.
All right, Cassidy. I don't know what your game is, but we'll go along.
Sheriff?
Sure.
I knew you'd want to see the law was upheld. Come along, gentlemen. All right, Cranball. Sheriff, put up your hand.
Hey, what the...
I thought you'd try something like this. You know, of course, we'll string you up when we catch you.
I know what I'm doing. California, get the horses and bring them around back. Hurry.
Yeah, Hoppy, sure.
Just make yourselves comfortable, gentlemen, but don't reach for your gun.
You can't do this. I'm the sheriff.
You aren't as smart as I thought you were, Cassidy. You're proving yourself guilty of murder.
Maybe. Now, turn around. I'm going to tie a few knots with a rope while I do some unraveling in my mind. Yeah?
It's me, California.
Come on in.
The horses are out back, Hoppy. You sure you know what you're doing?
I'll tell you later. Right now, let's get out of here.
You're going to leave them all dressed up and gagged like that?
Sure, they'll get out in an hour or so. At that time, we'll be long gone. Let's go. Andrew Fillmore, but I haven't got the time to talk to him.
Where are we going, Hoppy?
Out there, California. Just keep riding. Let's go, Topper. Pull up in that draw over there, California.
Sure, Hoppy, sure.
It's about time we took a breather.
When are you going to tell me what this is all about?
After I do some figuring. Right now, I don't like being railroaded out of town.
Seems to me you did that for us.
No, I just beat them to it. You know, California, I don't think we were wanted in Trail Center.
That's all right with me.
Most people get thanked for stopping a bank robbery. We're going to stick around and see why we're different.
When we go back to that town, they'll give us a plot of ground 6 feet deep.
We aren't going back to town.
Huh? Then what are we going
to
do?
We're going to sit and talk to the rattlesnakes till the sun goes down. And do some thinking.
Cranball sure got himself a big spread here, Hoppy.
Yeah.
We must have covered 2 miles since we left the horses.
Let's stop a minute. The moon's a little too bright to go walking along like we own the place.
What you looking for, Hoppy?
First, I want to get the lay of the land. That's the corral down to our left, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the ranch house in the knoll, straight ahead. I can see the chimney.
Not a light on the place.
Reckon the boys ain't back from town yet. It's Sunday night, you know.
Listen.
Somebody's coming on fast. Get down, California.
I am down.
Poppy, that was Bart Cranbo.
It wasn't Billy the Kid.
Look, he's gone right to the ranch house.
Yeah.
Are we gonna jump him?
Maybe. First, we got to know how many we're up against. Let's check the corral for horses.
What's that gonna prove?
If there aren't any horses, that's a pretty fair indication Cranbaugh's alone.
Sure.
You circle the left, and I'll take the right. I'll meet you on the side nearest the house.
I got your Hoppy.
And be careful.
Put up your hands.
What?
Quick.
Yes, sir.
Come closer. Easy now. I've got some questions I want to ask you.
Drop it, fella. Drop it, I said.
Good work, California. Now drag him out here in the moonlight.
Okay, come on.
You. Everybody wears a mask in this part of the country.
You'll have to take it off, Hoppy. The triggers are X for the mountain lion.
All right, California. Hang on. Now,
out. What's the matter?
He just bit me.
Hurry up, Hoppy.
There. That does it.
Oh, let me go. Let me go.
Well, I'll be... California, you heard the lady. Let her go.
Hoppy and California have been reconnoitering the Bart Cranball layout when Hoppy is ordered to put up his hand. California jumps the gunman from behind, but he turns out to be an active young lady.
I've never fought with a lady before, California. What do I do now?
Wasn't you, was me. Darn near licked me, too. Better find out who she is.
Oh, sure. Nearly forgot my manners. Miss, my name's Hopalong Cassidy, and this is my partner, California Carlson.
What? Hopalong Cassidy? Well, I thought you'd been run out of town.
You know me, huh?
Well, I'm Julie Fillmore, Andrew Fillmore's daughter.
Well, pleased to meet you, Julie. But what are you doing on Cranball's ranch toting a gun?
I thought you were Bart Cranball.
Why did you want to jump him for?
Because I know he's been behind those bank robberies that cleaned out my father and all the other small ranchers.
What makes you so sure?
I just know, that's all. A woman's intuition.
Oh, I see.
If it hadn't been for you, I might have had my proof by now.
But what have I done?
You killed Willie Cranball.
He was robbing a bank. Besides, I don't see
Let
what...
Let me tell you. I've known Willie Cranball practically all my life. He was weak, and he'd do anything his brother told him. I got to figuring if I could get next to Willie and make him talk, he'd incriminate his brother Bart. I was building him up easy when you came along and killed him.
We should have gotten together sooner.
All I can do now is try to force the truth out of Bart at gunpoint.
We're in this too, Julie.
Well, I didn't expect any help from you after Dad told me you tied up the sheriff and Bart and skipped town.
Does your dad know you're doing this?
Oh, no. He'd stop me if he knew.
Julie, there's more than one way to catch a gopher. Besides, California and I have to clear our names. You want to join forces?
Sure, but what can you do? Even Dad would have to help string you up if you went back to town.
Did they send a posse after us?
Why, no. The sheriff said you'd left the county.
I thought so.
Does that mean something to you?
It means we played right into their hands by outlawing ourselves from Trail Center.
What are you going to do?
Cranball's up at the ranch house right now, alone.
Yes, I know. I was hiding by the gate when he came in.
We'll take care of things now. You ride into town and tell the sheriff you saw California and me headed out this way. And you overheard me say I had proof of who killed the bank guard.
Do you?
No.
Well, then what?
You'll see when the time comes.
Well, shall I come back after I talk to the sheriff?
That won't be necessary. We'll handle it from now on.
All right. I'll wait for you at the hotel.
All right, Julie, and make it as fast as you can.
I just saw something important.
What's that?
Hopalong Cassidy in California riding toward Cranball's ranch.
What? Are you sure?
I not only saw them, I heard them.
What'd they say?
Well, Cassidy said he had proof who killed the bank guard.
But he did.
I'm only telling you what I heard.
Well, he's a dangerous man. I'll have to get a posse together and go after him right away.
Why didn't you do it earlier today?
He wouldn't dare show his face after tying me and Bart up. He knows we'd hang him.
Oh, I hope you catch him, Sheriff.
You leave it to me, Miss Fillmore. That hombre won't cause no more trouble around here.
Oh, that's the spirit, Sheriff. You know, we need more men like you in public office. Well, I guess I'll get on home.
Good night, Miss Fillmore.
Good night, Sheriff.
Man, come in here.
What's trouble, Sheriff?
Got some riding to do.
This time of night?
Julie Fillmore was just here.
Oh?
Said she saw Hopalong Cassidy and his partner heading for Cranball's ranch.
Well, I thought they'd been scared out of town.
We got to get out there.
Oh, sure have.
Now go ahead. You follow in about 15 minutes and cover me.
Want me to get a posse together?
No. We've got to handle this by ourselves. We'll tell everybody about it afterwards.
Over the fireplace.
Luker.
We're not play acting, California. What was he doing?
I tell you, Hoppy, he was playing with the antlers.
All right. Now let's ease around to the porch.
We gonna rush him, Hoppy?
Yeah. You stay behind me. I'll hit the door first.
I got you.
Your gun's ready?
Sure are.
Here we go.
Wait, Cranbaugh.
What? Cassidy.
Fire and keep him up there.
I thought you'd have sense enough to be 30 miles away by now.
You were a little too anxious for that to happen, Cranbaugh. And we're going to find out why.
Bart. Bart, let me in.
Who's there?
It's me, the sheriff.
Just a minute.
When I didn't see any light, I didn't know whether you were here or not. I think we're in for trouble, Bart. Julie Fillmore told me in town that Cassidy in California was headed this way.
Huh?
Yeah, and she heard Cassidy say he had proof who killed the bank guard. Maybe he did see me shoot him last night. And another thing, he might find out we got that bank money hidden behind them antlers over the fireplace. If he does, he's going to go after the U.S. Marshal. We ought to take it to a safer place, Bart.
Good idea. We need a light.
Well, I reckon we could get it in the dark.
No, we'll chance it.
There, that's better.
Yeah, now I'll just...
Don't move and don't reach, Sheriff. California's behind you.
How did you get...
Drag Cranbaugh in here, California. I'll hold a gun on the sheriff.
Come on up, Poppy.
You talk a lot for a sheriff. The wrong kind of talk.
I didn't do nothing, Cassidy. Bart,
save your breath. That gag off and untie him, California.
I'm working on him.
I thought you boys worked awful smooth together. But let me tell you something. So do California and I.
Of all the dumb fool people I have to get tied up with.
I thought that he was you, boy.
Shut up, both of you. You're going to have a long talk with a U.S. Marshal. And I don't think he's going to like what you'll have to say.
Shall I get the money from behind the antlers, Hoppy?
Yeah. Might as well take it along.
This bag's heavy.
It should be. Results of 3 bank robberies in it. All right, march you two, and don't try anything.
Drop those guns, both of you.
That a boy, Rance.
Done just like you told me, Sheriff.
Well, this puts a shoe on the other foot, huh, Cassidy?
Seems that way.
Oh, and this is for tying me up twice in the same day.
Why are you hit Hoppy again or not?
Go ahead if it makes you feel better.
Well, what are we going to do, Bart? Shoot him?
No, we're going to string him up on the willow down by the spring.
Well, what'll people think?
What we want them to. These two are wanted for murder. I caught them snooping around here, sent for you, and we hung them.
Sure.
Rance. Now, I'm glad Cassidy got my brother yesterday instead of you.
Good thing I got here in time.
Cassidy, and you dirty rattlesnake, move. We'll make this as quick and painful as possible.
Now, back to Hopalong Cassidy.
All right, Sheriff. See, they don't try to get away. Hey, Rance, get a couple of ropes over that lower limb.
Yeah, Bart.
You got anything to say, Cassidy? It's gonna be your last word.
Wouldn't do much good to say anything, would it, Cranbaugh?
Ain't there nothing we can do, Hoppy?
Somebody's coming, Bart.
That's just the boys coming back from town. Get on with it.
Hoppy! Quiet, California.
Cranbaugh, how about making a deal? We'll take off and never come back if you'll let us go.
I knew you'd eat dirt before we finished with you.
I mean it.
Now, Sheriff, get him on those horses. We're wasting time.
All right, mount up there. Hold still. Get these nooses around your neck.
You ready, Sheriff?
Not quite. Hey, Bart, Sheriff, those ain't the cowhands coming. It's somebody else.
What?
What?
Hey!
You're surrounded, Cranbaugh. Drop that gun, Sheriff. You won't be needing it now. One of them's getting away.
I'll get him, Fillmore.
Hey, California, you all right?
Yeah, and we're all right.
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
Cranbaugh's toting your gold, Andrew.
Oh, thanks, Hoppy.
All right, boys. Take Cranbaugh and the sheriff. The marshal can have him now.
Ah, that was a close one, Andrew. Thanks for coming.
Oh, don't thank me, Hoppy. Thank Julie.
Julie?
Yeah.
Hello, Hoppy. California.
He's the one rounded us up, made us come out here.
You got a smart daughter, Andrew.
I figured this would require a woman's touch before it was finished.
You sure figured right, Miss Julie.
How did you happen to come back when I said we wouldn't need you?
When I saw the sheriff leave town by himself and Rance follow a few minutes later, well, I got the drift.
Well, you proved it once again, Julie.
What's that, Mr. Cassidy?
It's the woman who always has the last word.
Hop Along Cassidy, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 6th of January, 1951. And that closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.